And as you take your seat, if you'll turn with me to our scripture text this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. We're looking at the first 18 verses of Matthew chapter 2. It's on page number 1497 in your pew Bibles if you want to turn to it there as we read from God's precious and holy word. Hear the word of the Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And you can kind of read between the lines, if the king ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? You know that. Okay, verse 4. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report back to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." The light of peace. As Mel was teaching the children, today, the second Sunday of Advent, on our Advent candle wreath, we light the second candle, which is traditionally representing peace. Christ came as Prince of Peace to bring peace to this earth, just as the angels sang outside of Bethlehem that first Noel, that first Christmas light. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards all people." Again, as Melissa said, Christmas is a great season of light. I also love to see the lights because they represent and remind us of Christ, who is the light of the world, that shines in the darkness. Christmas peace. It's an interesting thing to contemplate in these days as it was back in the days of Herod. So there is so much evil in the world today, so much violence in the news, wars and rumors of wars around the globe. Where's the peace today? Where is this peace on earth, goodwill among men? So much murder and mayhem on the streets. I've stopped watching the regular news. However, I was watching a cable news show, and I heard that some businesses, some companies in New York City were advising their employees to dress down for the season and not be all dressed up and therefore a target for people who want to do harm, not to invite attacks. Can you imagine? This last week we heard about a teen gunman in a Michigan school, Oxford High School, I believe it was, shot 11, some classmates, killing four. Now they're looking for his parents. The week before, we heard about a man who drove an SUV into a crowd watching a Christmas parade in Wisconsin, killing six and injuring others. This breaks our hearts to read such awful news, to hear such awful news. And it breaks the Lord's heart. You know, as I was preparing my sermon yesterday, I was procrastinating a little bit, as I tend to do, and I read my emails. I went to my emails, and my nephew Peter, who is in the Navy, he's a Navy JAG, he's a lawyer for the Navy, he is currently deployed somewhere in East Africa with a bunch, I guess, not a battalion, but a group of special ops, Navy SEALs, and the place where he is was redacted from the email. We couldn't read where he was. But I thought, here is my nephew with great price, along with these soldiers, out keeping the peace, trying to secure the peace, and I'm preaching on peace. It's, at the very least, ironic. Think about that. You remember Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's great Christmas carol, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," their old familiar carols play. And in despair, I bowed my head. "There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." This Prince of Peace is a paradox in a world of anger, malice, and hatred. Christianity seems to float in the vast sea of mischief and mayhem in our day, as it has in every age. In the age when Jesus was born, the light of the world, the Prince of Peace, born in Bethlehem, is a peace that comes in the face of terror. Christ, the Prince of Peace, is a peace that comes in the face of terror. As I said, there was great evil in Bethlehem back then, in Judah. Herod the Great, so-called, to be distinguished from sons and other Herods that followed him. He was a despot king, ruling in terror rather than compassion and concern for his people. Life was cheap during Herod's reign. We hear about, in a fit of anger, how Herod murdered his favorite wife, Mariamne, and two sons. In fact, Augustus Caesar, hearing about that, is quoted as saying, "It's better to be Herod's hog, Herod's pig, than his son." awful. Matthew 2 gives us a tale of two kings, King Herod and King Jesus, the birth of a prince. This tale is a story of contrasts with the humble earthly entrance of this prince, only 5 miles from King Herod's palace in Jericho. Sword and terror from Herod, preparing for his own death later on. He died at age 70. He imprisoned a number of distinguished citizens of his realm so that at his command, at his death, they would be executed, because he knew that nobody would mourn his death, but he wanted tears to be flowing on the day that he died. Unbelievable. Christ offers calm among chaos in our lives down through the ages for all believers. Peace and tranquility came into the world through this babe in a manger. God works quietly to bring everlasting peace to this world, to us. Praise God. Our lives today are often filled with chaos and turmoil. Herod is gone, and all the Herods of our day will pass into the pages of history. But the babe in Bethlehem lives on, lives forever. Yes, he died, was crucified, but he rose again, and he lives forever, so that of his kingdom and peace there shall be no end, the prophet says. That fact alone is sweet peace, calming the souls of Christians in a chaotic time today and over the last 2,000 years. You see, we can have calm in the face of terror, and because of the Prince of Peace born in Bethlehem, we can have peace that saves in the face of death. Jesus came to bring salvation, to save us in the face of death. In the context of this story, we have awful death, the slaughter of innocents, as it's called. Classically, Herod's raging reaction when the three kings, or the three magi, didn't return as he had asked, as he had commanded, to protect his own throne. In jealousy, he ordered the death of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years and younger. And that fulfilling a prophecy from Jeremiah, a voice was heard in Ramah weeping and with great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And yet Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus escaped this terror. Perhaps little comfort to the mothers of Bethlehem in that day, but even greater comfort to all the world, overriding and carrying through everything in the midst of that, was the salvation of this Savior who lived to save us from our sins, to conquer sin and death for all who believe. This child that came to face death for all of us who believe, Christ overcame death himself with his Easter resurrection. He died that all who believe might be victorious over death. Even in the midst of this bad news, there's great and good news, the gospel of salvation, for Christ's victory over sin and over Satan and over death for all time gives us the hope and peace that we need. Paul the Apostle says, since we are justified through faith, we can have peace with God because Christ has had victory over death. human sin, our sin, deserves death because the wages of sin is death, judgment. And it explains evil in the world, these things that we scratch our head and lose sleep over, that we read in the news that's happening. How can that happen if God is in control? Well, the evil of this world still is great, but there will be a day when God will set all things right and his vengeance will stand. Truth will rule and reign forever and ever. God's love and gift of his Son secures salvation, hope, and peace for us all. The Prince of Peace brings life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. The Prince of Peace brings life. This divine child, the incarnate Word, brings light and life to all the world. This little one is the way, the truth, and the life, offering abundant life and eternal life. Do you have that life within you today? Do you have that spark of life and light in your heart? Have you welcomed him, made room for him in your heart today? He comes to bring peace and reconciliation between you and God, between you and others, and even peace that passes all understanding. Deep down in your hearts, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you've experienced, no matter where you've been, God loves you. Christ lived and died for you and offers God's grace and mercy. Do you have this peace today? You can have it. It is the gift of God through Christ. Please, don't spend another day in darkness. Receive the light. See the light. Receive Christ into your heart today and have that blessed assurance. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the communion table today, we come rejoicing in the peace that you provide, that you have come to reconcile us and make us to be reconcilers on your behalf, bringing peace into this world. For blessed are the peacemakers. O Lord, we ask that you would continue to fill our hearts with peace, that we might be at peace with one another in an angry and anxious world, that we might live above all reconciled in eternal peace with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.